everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord our God has tremendous blessings in store for us, and it's in his heart to bless mankind. People live without the revelation of how much God loves us all. He really loves you. He cares about you in every way. Sometimes the doctrines of men have failed the people of God. Sometimes the things that people believe and put on the forefront of their thoughts and their ways and their belief systems is full of false information. Actually against God. Because the enemy is trying, he's working high and low to keep man in the dark against God. He don't want you reunited with God. That's why every religion and the evil persuasions of men is angry at Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the unifier. He unifies man back together with God. Job pointed out that there was a need for a mediator, a daysman. And to my knowledge, he's the first person to say that acknowledged the need for a daysman, somebody that could mediate between God and man. Well, Jesus Christ is the one who reconciled us to Christ, to the Lord, to Father God. And he made us joint heirs if we believe on him. Satan, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm being honest with you. Satan hates salvation. He hates to see you reunited with our Heavenly Father who made us in his image. Don't forget that. That's not a light thing. We are a creation that's made in God's image. I know that angels, we look like angels and angels look like us, but we are made in God's image. Now, I have a limited knowledge of how of the order of angels and how they operate and how they are created and whether they're born or not. But I know that we are created in the image of God. And I always talk about the two trees. See, if you want a clear picture of God, you have to go back to Genesis and you have to look at Adam. Adam was in the position he had to choose which route he would take, the way of life. And he had credible evidence and credible reasons to trust God and take God at his word. God had never done him wrong. God had blessed him. God put him on a beautiful earth, told him to take care of it. He said, be fruitful, multiply, refill the earth, or replenish, which is replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. And then he warned him. He put the two trees in the garden. There were other trees in the garden as well. But the tree of life and all the other trees he could freely eat. But the tree that in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, the day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. And he had reason to believe God because he understood a reference of death. Now, if the Lord said you shall surely die, it wouldn't have did any good for God to say that if Adam did not have a reference for death. And he may have seen dinosaur bones, and he knew that they were once animals. He probably saw dead trees, dead, you know, there were things that he could dig and find and understand that things, something happened. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The earth was flooded. It was devastated. We're about to face the dangers of Armageddon happening. which is the battle in the Valley of Megiddo in southern Israel. Well, this is all about to take place. But the earth had its own form of Armageddon before God made Adam. This will not be the first time that life on earth was extinguished. But the Lord knows what he's doing. That's why he told Adam to refill the earth. Now we're going to shift gears. God loves us and he cares about each and every one of us. And he wants us to know him. You ever wonder why is God so patient with people when they are obviously wrong? Jeremiah had the same thoughts. This is Jeremiah chapter 12. It's verse 1. It says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord. When I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments." Now he used the word wherefore, which in our terms would mean why. Why do the way of the wicked prosper? And why are they happy and deal very treacherously? You have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in thy mouth and far from their reins. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me and tried mine heart towards thee, towards you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell there? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. This is Jeremiah talking about the wicked and why they prosper, why they grow stronger, why they make things corrupt, why they cause so many problems. And you know that I'm doing all I can do. Jeremiah talking about himself. You know I love you, and they don't, and they prosper, and they work wickedness. Now watch what God said in reply to that. And verse 5 said, "If you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if the land be, and if in the land of peace wherein you trust, they weary you, then how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? For even your brothers and the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you, and they have called a multitude after you. Believe them not, for they speak fair words to you, and I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. And my heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It cries out against me. Therefore have I hated it." And God is still talking. Verse 9. "My heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness." Now this is still God talking in reply to what Jeremiah said. Consider it well. Verse 11. "They have made it desolate, and being desolate it mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate because no man lays it to heart. The spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land even to the other end of the land, and no flesh shall have peace." Remember, Isaiah said there's no peace to the wicked. He's still talking. He said they have sown wheat, but they shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused, which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass if they will diligently learn the ways of my people and swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. Now, this is talking about the Gentiles nations in the latter day when things are restored in Israel. They will seek them and they will learn the ways of God, some of them. Verse 17, but if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. Remember something. Jesus, in the discourse of the Sermon on the Mount, when he taught the Beatitudes, he said, the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek are very powerful people, but they have their power under control, and they want the truth, and they do what's right. They will inherit the earth. The earth will be here forever. Men are not going to blow it to pieces. That's not prophesied, so it's not going to happen. But there will be a devastating war, and there will be blood in the valleys of Megiddo, and it will reach to the horse's bridle and fill the land with blood and soldiers and dead men. And it's going to be bad. That's how it ends, against the people, the wicked. See, Jeremiah wanted to know, why do the wicked prosper? The wicked were giving him such a hard time. And the Lord pointed out that his own brothers and the people of his father's house were speaking kind words to him and hiring multitudes against him, trying to figure out a way to trap him and kill him or keep him from ministering God's word. See, if you think you're having a hard time with contrary people, God loves the people. He doesn't hate them, and they're doing wrong. And it puzzles people. Why do you love people that's wrong? God has to. He gave us grace and a space of time to repent. Because if a wicked man continues in his path, he will be lost forever. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. Don't forget that website. Utilize it. And let people know. If you hear something that will bless somebody, let them know to go to newlivingletters.com. Everything on this website is totally free. I'm not one of those dry-bone, money-grabbing preachers. I want people to know God. You know, people do all kind of things in this world, and they prosper, or they seem to prosper. And the enemy is slick. If people don't love God and they love something else, the enemy will use them against God. So don't be so surprised when people that are in God's house doing wicked things, and people put material things ahead of the things of God. I will not do that. I made a decision a long time ago. If I'm going to preach God's word, I'm going to do precisely what he wants me to do. I'm going to speak his word. I'm going to speak and be a blessing. I don't need your money. I got money. I can make money. But utilize the things of God. It's too important to put money and material things ahead of the things of God. And every good ministry needs money. And I'm not stupid. I know that. But it's time now for the church to be the church and teach the word of God. And God will take care of you. Begging the world for money is not in the plan of God. I ask the Lord for whatever I need and I get it. But right now, utilize the things of God. Listen to his word. Hear him out. That's how you get to know God. Daniel said that they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. And the only way for you to know God is to hear his word. I'm just doing my job and I'm doing my part, and I love what God has given me to do. When I need help, God always moves. He loves us. If he loves a wicked man and a righteous man had to ask him about his judgments, why is he so patient with the wicked? Know real good that God loves you. And you're very important to him. And he will not, he cares about your life, and he wants you to know him. If God is patient with the wicked, see, sometimes people are wicked or they do wicked acts, but their heart is salvageable. See, when all this is over with, when the history of man is done and Christ will have come back, and we're going to know that God did everything possible for every soul on the planet. But some people chose the wrong way, and they didn't want God in their thinking, and they didn't receive the knowledge of God, and they didn't receive help from the Lord. And they died and went to hell, unnecessarily so. But God loved each and every person that went on to hell anyway. They're going to realize that he tried to help them. They saw their kinfolks trying to tell them about the Lord and they avoided them. They're going to remember that. They saw you coming to tell them something that God did for you and to encourage them. And they acted like they were busy and left. They're going to remember that you tried to tell them or somebody tried to tell them. And they wouldn't listen. And they got forever to remember how they acted in this life. But God loved every single one of them. And the wicked don't have to be wicked. There's nobody. God didn't tell them to be that way. They chose to be that way of their own free will. Not God's choice. That was their choice. God loves every soul. And he loves you. And he wants you to be included in all the wonderful things and surprises that he's going to do for mankind. You know, as we follow him, as we follow God, we learn things that we couldn't normally learn. And I know that God is good, and his return is very soon and sudden. But hear me out. Think about it. If God loves you, he has good things in store for you. Look at the beginning. God made this earth beautiful. It's a fallen world, and it's still beautiful. As corrupt as man is, the earth is still beautiful. And it's an interesting planet. But God has good things in store for us. If we follow God, we're going to be included in a grand plan. We're going to see the new Jerusalem that Abraham scouted out looking for. It's time now for it to happen. So be encouraged that the dark days are almost over with. And our Lord is about to return. We're going to get to see him and hold conversations with him. But guess what? You don't have to wait till he come to dialogue with the Lord and pray. Now, in all these things, sometimes I learn things that's very interesting to me. The Lord loves us. There are people, I was talking to somebody the other day that people are many families, women that miscarried children or even had an abortion, those children are still alive in the kingdom of God. And in heaven, they are there. And they want their parents to come. They want to meet their parents. There are many children that have died at childbirth. There are many children that died as children. And they want to see their family again, if they knew their family. But if they were aborted, they greatly desire to see their parents. They live in the presence of God, and they know to forgive their parents. And they forgive their parents. And they long for their parents to be saved and come where they are. Some people have siblings in heaven and don't know it, because sometimes when a family has a miscarriage, the mother miscarriage one of the children, they may not talk about it to the children that are born after that, and they don't know it. But in heaven, that child is still there, waiting on you. And there are some people, women have miscarried, and they don't have any other children, and they're sad all their life because they see other families with their children playing at the park, and they don't have any children. But they may have miscarried three or four, and the doctor said they couldn't have children. And every time they tried, they miscarried. But be encouraged. You're going to see that. You're going to get, if you go to heaven, you're going to see your family again. And you'll be able to name them. I even heard what Mary K. Baxter on YouTube. Now, if God has given people things to help encourage us, and it's up to you to go and listen to them. Mary Baxter went to heaven and also hell. And she does a teaching. She goes around the country teaching about what she saw. And you don't have to wait till she come to town, because that may or may not happen. But she's on YouTube, Mary K. Baxter, on YouTube, and you can listen to what she had. She been to heaven, and she talks about heaven and all the children that are waiting on their parents, and those who were aborted, they all forgive their parents. And then there are brothers. People are going to have brothers and sisters and uncles and cousins in heaven that they never met before. And it's going to be a joy to meet somebody that looks just like your cousin, or just like your sister, or just like you. And it's, you know, God is, he thinks of everything. See, when a child go to heaven, they're in the kingdom of God anyway, because their spirit is lit. They can't judge right and wrong. But when we reach the age of understanding, where we're accountable for our own activities and our own sins, we got to make sure we get saved in order to live forever. And the Lord loves us. He wants things to be in place so you can live a full, victorious life. He cares about you in every way of life. Jeremiah wondered, why do the wicked prosper? He asked the Lord about his judgments. Why? Let's sit down and talk a minute, Lord. Why do you put up with these wicked people that give me so much trouble? And the Lord answered, and he began saying, if the foot soldiers weary you, how are you going to deal with horses? And then the Lord told him how much his own family members hated him, his brothers and the house of his father, and how they were trying to find people to, multitudes of people, to hinder and kill Jeremiah. You asking the Lord about the wicked, and he's telling you about your own family. That's how, and when you finish it out, you see how it ends. The Lord loves us. And it's time for men to love God back. It's time now for people to get to know the Lord and to seek his face, to get to know him personally. God is good. That's why he put up with us. That's why he is patient and long-suffering. It's very important that we all follow through in the things of God. There's so much more we can learn. And as we go forward, we can grow from glory to glory. We're going to change. We're going to progress. We're going to do greater things. We're going to see things for what they are. If you spend time in the presence of the Lord, you will see things as they truly are. You will see people in a better light. When I look out at my enemies, people that are an enemy to me, I'm praying and asking the Lord, how can I be a blessing to them? Because I've been in his presence and he taught me those things. He taught me to love everybody. And the love of God is very important. As we go forward doing the perfect will of God, we can be the blessing people need us to be. When people are not at their best, they really need us to be a blessing to them. And somebody will say, well, why would I want to be able to bless somebody that's trying to kill me and trying to hurt me? Most of the time, people are deceived. They are deceived against God. They are deceived. And the sin has hardened their heart. If they see the light or enough light, they might change. Jesus died for us that we might be saved. There was no real guarantee. But the Lord knew that some people would come. And he died for us anyway. That was really no guarantee, but we came. And we heard his word. And we received his word. Then we believed his word. Then we acted on his word, which is faith. And everybody needs to have that chance. And when we have that kind of heart, that's something that the Lord our God and King can work with. Most people are struggling and to manage the emotions that they have and do, just trying to take care of their everyday life. But as you include the Lord and you gain his wisdom and insight, you can do much greater than you could any other way. Many people are going to ask the same questions that Jeremiah asked. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine the vain thing? Now that's Psalm chapter 2. David was saying the same thing that Jeremiah did. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine the vain thing? Why do they assemble against the Lord, against his Christ? But the Lord loves us and he's patient. And he receives the former and latter rain. Many people that will get saved, they are not doing what they should be doing right now. The Lord told Peter, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I'm out of time, so I'll end with that. When you follow the Lord, God will cause you to be a fisher of men. And you can make a greater difference in the lives of many people. Now, the Lord is mightily moving by his spirit. Get in on the things of God. Enjoy him. Because God has so many wonderful things to say. Now, my time, the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord and soon coming King.